Hare Krishna. Sorry about my voice. We were at the 12-hour curtain in Germany. I overexerted myself, so I'm not in good shape in terms of projection. So I hope you'll hear me. I have a mic here. Today we're reading the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 13. Text 5. The chapter is known as Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness. It's one of my best two chapters when I got into Krishna consciousness. I was very much attracted to because of the philosophical content in it. So by the mercy of Sri Guru, Sri Prabhupada, I'll be able to expound on it without any change of material screens in my consciousness. So get straight to the point. We don't have a way to repeat the verses, so I'll just read the Sanskrit and then we'll repeat the English translation only. Rishibi Pahuda Gitam Chandobi Vivida Pritaki Rama Sutra Vadashava Hechumadi Vinishchitaha. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the know of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Let me repeat because I think my voice is not very good or sharp. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the know of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining this most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the super soul by referring to a scripture, the Vedanta, which is accepted as authority. First, he says, this is according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides himself, Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, is a great sage. And in the Vedanta Sutra, duality is perfectly explained. And Vyasadeva's father, Parasara, is also a great sage. And he writes in his books of religiosity, Aham Twam Cha Tatanye. We, you and I, and the various other living entities are all transcendental, although in material bodies. Now we are fallen in the ways of the three modes of material nature according to our different karma. As such, some are on the higher levels and some are in the lower nature. The higher and lower natures exist due to ignorance and are being manifested in an infinite number of living entities. But the super soul, which is infallible, is uncontaminated by the three qualities of nature and is transcendental. Similarly, in the original Vedas, a distinction between the soul and the super soul and the body is made, especially in the Katha Upanishad. There are many great sages who have explained this, and Parasara is considered principal among them. The word Chandobi refers to the various Vedic literatures. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, which is a branch of the Yajur Veda, describes nature, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated before, Kshetra is the field of activities, and there are two kinds of Kshetra Gya, the individual living entity and the supreme living entity. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2, chapter 5, Brahma Pucham Patista. There is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord energy known as Anamaya, dependence upon food for existence. This is a materialistic realization of the Supreme. Then in Pranamaya, after realizing the supreme absolute truth in food, one can realize the absolute truth in the living symptoms or life forms. In Jnana Maya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms to the point of thinking, feeling, and willing. Then there's Brahma realization called Vijnana Maya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. The next and supreme stage is Ananda Maya, realization of the all blissful nature. Thus, there are five stages of Brahma realization, which are called Brahma Pucham. Out of these, the first three, Anamaya, Pranamaya, and Jnanamaya, involve the field of activities of the living entities. Transcendental to all these field of activities is the Supreme Lord, who is called Ananda Maya. The Vedanta Sutra also describes the Supreme by saying, Ananda Maya Pishyati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is by nature full of joy. To enjoy his transcendental bliss, he expands into Vijnanamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, and Anamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be the enjoyer, and different from him is the Anandamaya. That means that if the living entity decides to enjoy in dovetailing himself with Anandamaya, then he becomes perfect. This is the real picture of the Supreme Lord as the supreme knower of the field. The living entity as subordinate knower and the nature of the field of activities. One has to search for the truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. It is mentioned here that the codes of the Brahma Sutra are very nicely arranged according to cause and effect. Some of the sutras or aphorisms are Na Vyad Ashrute, Nama Shrute, and Prarat Tu Tach Shrute. The first aphorism indicates the field of activities. The second indicates the living entity, and the third indicates the Supreme Lord, the Samam Bonam, among all the manifestations of various entities. Om Gyanam Timirandasya, Gyanam Gyanam Salakya, Chaksu Milelap Temiyanya, Tasmag Shri Guruva Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Namo Pistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Sva Padantikam, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shravaita, Kadada Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. To be honest, I was not really prepared for this class today, but since I've read this chapter many times, I will expand on it. Since it's kind of like my favorite chapter, I'll try to elaborate on it. So, Prabhupada, in his translation here, the translation says that the knowledge of the field of activities and the knowledge of activities is described in various scriptures by various sages, in different Vedic writings, basically. Especially, it is presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. So, we have three topics here. The purport itself is rich with a lot of philosophical content. We have the issue of cause and effect, which is in Western philosophy is described by philosophers such as René Descartes and philosophers like Immanuel Kant and John Locke. They describe issues of cause and effect, but without the Vedic point of view in it. They just described according to their mental capacities, as according to their modes of nature. So that's one of the topics. And the knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of activities. So we find here in this chapter that the knower of activities is ultimately Krishna. In this purport, in his manifestation as Paramatma, in all living entities. So we know that the absolute truth is studied by different by different schools in three phases: Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and then Sri Bhagavan realization. Bhagavan realization, basically, that's what Bhakti Yoga entails. It's like the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, basically, is Bhagavan realization. Even if you are chanting it insincerely or you're chanting it weekly, it still gives you the benefit, or you get the glimpse, because it has to do directly with service. It's not like the other strains. Or Paramatma realization only gives you side byproducts such as mystic powers. It can even get you to Brahmaloka or other mystical realms such as Tapoloka or even Swagaloka. Basically, it has to do with mystic cities. But Paramatma, basically, in Krishna consciousness, in Bhakti Yoga, basically means the Guru within. The Guru within is also expressed as a Guru externally in terms of our scriptures here. This text is about the various Vedic writings. The knowledge of the field of activities and of the no-of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. So basically, Krishna is explaining himself about himself externally through these Vedic writings, as we have here the Bhagavad Gita. So this is Paramatma. Anyway, this is the knower of activities explaining about himself externally. So the most interesting part here is described by the Taittiriya Upanishad about the Brahmapucham phenomenon, known as the five stages of realization by the living entity. So we start with the basic one, whereby the living entity dwells only on food. It was a surprise to me to know when I first read it that it's a form of realization that dependence on food for existence. But as per education and biological studies, one can tell even from a tiny child when they grow up, all they know of is food, basically, for pleasure. So basically, the principle is pleasure. That's the main principle of life, the pleasure principle. So how do we get pleasure? We're pleasure seekers by nature, individual souls, because we are tiny part and parcels of the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the supreme pleasure seeker, I can say, the one who has all the pleasure and it keeps on increasing. That's why they say the last stage, which is the next and supreme stage, Ananda Maya. So once you realize this stage, you have surpassed all the other stages. So we can see with the evolutionaries like Charles Darwin, and other scientists who are like atheistic in kind of thought, like Richard Dawkins, they dwell on these, at least two of these stages of realization. They dwell on the one that is to Anamaya, and then so basically, Anamaya realization based on only like a foodstuff. And then we have the second one, which is based on symptoms of living entities, basically, or life forms. Like we studied in biology about the characteristics of living beings. Besides the dependence on food, we can see that a living entity is alive. Even a plant is standing still. We can't see it growing at night and moving, but we can tell that it has symptoms of it. There's a living force within, because the leaves are not wilting, the leaves are still healthy, the plant is still firm, and it's still looking healthy. So we can tell that there's a living being inside it. It's not necessarily a tree according to Vedic understanding. It's the spirit soul within that guides the growth of the plant itself. Actually, according to this verse, is the knower. The knower, in this case, is a super soul. Us, the spirit souls, we just, what we do is just desire, icha. And the super soul executes those desires according to our karma, as Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, says here, that we are fallen. Some are in higher levels, some are in lower levels, so we're in different bodies according to our desires. So the knower, the super soul, is the one who actually does everything for us. Us, our job is just to desire, and according to our previous inclinations, whether in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, we get the next body. But what is stressed here is the realization of the fifth one, because it starts off with jnana after the first two, which is anamaya, food, and then pranamaya, symptoms, and then jnana, which has to do with thinking, feeling, and willing, mental capabilities, psychological phenomena, basically. And then beyond jnanamaya is vijnana, which is realization of Brahman realization. Brahman realization is realization of the unqualified absolute. The unqualified absolute, Brahman. Why do I say unqualified? Qualified means with qualities. When we say with qualities, we talk about para-Brahman. Krishna is para-Brahman. He is with qualities. Although in the material world we describe God as formless, as a beam of light, but he's para-Brahman. So most theistic philosophies describe God or the absolute truth in terms of Brahman, when you look at it closely, according to in the light of Vedic science, basically. So Ananda Maya, realization of the all blissful nature. This blissful nature, we cannot imagine from scripture and from the realized souls in our disciplic succession. We can tell about their blissful nature according to the way they behave. They are very humble. They feel themselves so low. It seems like they are pretending. When you read in according to your material screen, you think, why is he acting so much? Or like, how can someone be so humble to feel himself like a worm? A worm in stool, or like lower than a straw in the street, or something like that. Even Lord Chaitanya himself, God himself, was like thinking in those terms when he took on the mood of Srimati Radharani. The reason for this with Lord Chaitanya, it's the Ananda Maya principle. I cannot discuss it like that much, but according to self-realized souls, they realize how small they are. Once you reach beyond Paramatma realization to Bhagavan realization, once you realize Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, you tend to see how ever increasing his bliss is. Even they describe that even when the gopis are serving him, their beauties are ever increasing, basically, in the spiritual world. And there's a part whereby he's speaking to Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Ramananda Roy is describing the different aspects, the different tattvas, until he reaches the part where he reaches the Vaikuntha planets. It describes the extent of the planets and about the different deities there. And Lord Chaitanya, we can see him going more and more ecstatic, and he keeps on asking him, please describe more, which means there's more. But even when he reaches the topmost, the so-called topmost, it's like, even that topmost is ever increasing in itself. It's like there's no end in the bliss of Krishna. So during the weekend, we went to Germany, and Sachinandana Swami was describing, particularly he was describing Krishna standing, holding Govardhan Hill, like with his Tribhanga position. Of course, he always tries to... he's like describing the look on his face and the way he was shaped and everything. And he was enchanting everyone, the residents of Raj, such that they forgot that he was holding the Govardhan Hill. They were bewildered by Yoga Maya that our young boy is holding a mountain. Some thought that he had like mantras for holding mountains in air. His friend Madhumangal described, like, he's the best of Brahmins. He described how Krishna chanted some mantras for holding a mountain, and they believed that, because, and they were trying to help him with sticks, because they thought he was too young to hold it, and they thought he was carrying a heavy burden. So you can see how bewildering it is, just even when you look at the Vraj verses, such as the parental mood. It's like they cannot understand the bliss itself, but it's covered. The bliss is covered over by yoga maya, of course. The gopis, they are always in an ecstatic mood, and they are, as I've described before, their qualities keep on increasing and increasing. So, but this example here I'm making is that what we're searching for in this world, it's really nothing compared to the bliss that the Lord has in store for us. But He brought this bliss to us in an easy way. I can say basically easy, although, yeah, of course, there are some battles along the way that one has to fight and others and all that. The Maha Mantra. Chanting the Maha Mantra sincerely takes one straight to the Ananda Maya right there without any step-by-step process. I can make an example over the weekend again in Germany. We experienced something which was like in festivals, you know, like when you absorb yourself in the holy name, you get the mercy quickly, because the festival, your consciousness is geared towards Krishna. Everything is geared towards Krishna. You don't think of anything else. Krishna Katha, every hour you have to chant japas, like everything is centered around Krishna. So I realized at that time that actually it's possible. It gave me hope. It was only 2 days, but it gave me hope that actually one can be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's not like some cloud in the air that, oh, it's impossible. It's possible. These programs, like festivals, are designed to make us think, how can I make my whole day Krishna conscious? The only challenge is that we are individuals, and when we're like away from festivals and like other retreats such as this, which absorb us in Krishna consciousness, we tend to like, no one is watching me, right? So you tend to like do some other things on the side. Okay, I can kind of do this, a little bit of maya and a little bit, don't know, of playing around. But basically, one who's sincere in heart, not sincere externally in front of devotees and in front of guru, but sincere within himself, like after reading these scriptures thoroughly, he can sort of like understand that, yeah, I have to really dovetail, because here he even talks about, that means that if the living entity decides to enjoy dovetailing himself with the Ananda Maya, then it becomes perfect. Srila Prabhupada just writes in one sentence, then it becomes perfect. It's easy to underestimate such a verse, but it's like, it's real. Like if you see in terms of what I described about the festivals and the short retreats. So if one centers his day around Krishna consciousness, is able to guide himself on how he eats and how he speaks and how he thinks. Thinking, of course, cannot be controlled. Even when we are in Krishna consciousness, there are offensive thoughts, there are materialistic thoughts. What we can do there, there's no other way except for chanting the Maha Mantra. So there's two ways, mainly, according to my experience, of chanting the Maha Mantra. Of course, we have to chant 16 rounds, but because most of, well, we're in the neophyte offensive stage, so it's recommended that one maybe adds more into the Maha Mantra. My kind of like experiment, when I experimented with the Maha Mantra from the beginning, is that the more you add more names of Krishna in your head, even if the mind is forcefully forcing material desires and material chanchala stuff, the more the mind keeps on hearing Krishna, Krishna, Krishna every time, even if it doesn't want, the more it can be conquered after like maybe 20 rounds, then you can sort of like feel, actually, I have to keep on going. You get into the groove of chanting japa, and then you end up like maybe chanting 40 rounds a day without knowing how you got there. But basically, in the beginning, it's poisonous, yeah, to chant. But we can endeavor to reach Ananda Maya every day. Ananda Maya can, not Ananda Maya, like every day. We can't reach Ananda Maya every day, of course. I mean, we can get a glimpse of the bliss by our daily duties or daily prescribed duties, sadhana bhakti. mainly the chanting of japa. If one is sincere in his japa, every other service will become purified, basically. So, we also have here the description of the Vedanta Sutra. We all know about the Vedanta Sutra, how it has been, misinterpreted purposefully by Shankaracharya was sent by Lord Krishna. He's Lord Shiva's partial manifestation or partial expansion. He's Lord Shiva's partial expansion. He was sent to delude the atheistic group, mainly the Buddhistic group, who had thrown away the Vedas, basically, after Lord Buddha had come. The Lord Buddha is Krishna himself, but he comes for a different purpose, to stop the sacrifice or the animal killing that was going on back then. So after that, he sent Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva came in his expansion, Shankaracharya, to rectify the situation of establishing the Vedas and the Vedanta Sutra as the way of going back to Sri Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. So he came with the philosophy of impersonalism, in which he declared that basically we're all one in a crux. Like, there's no separate manifestation. Where you see Krishna and then parts and parcels, it's not like that. That's how he described it. So here we see that there's a knower of activities and then the knowledge of the field of activities. So which means if there's a knower, then we come to the philosophy of achinta peda peda, or inconceivable oneness and difference. Inconceivable oneness and difference completely destroyed what Shankaracharya was trying to establish, but he was doing it on purpose, of course, to establish the Vedas again. So there was a purpose in that too. So basically, bliss is always there, but it's our material coverings. Just like we have clouds in the sky and the sun is always there, but if there are clouds in the sky, the person under the cloud will not feel the heat. The heat will not penetrate sufficiently. So one has to remove the clouds. The clouds can be represented as anathas or unwanted desires or the weeds that prevent one from progressing in bhakti. We can see that practically every day when we're doing bhakti. There are faults that that the mind brings in. The mind is very uncontrollable. It brings a lot of things. Even in devotional service, it doesn't have a sense of control unless you have to hold it really, not too tightly. Just hold the reins just enough to control it. But if you hold it too tightly, of course, it will get out of control. So to remove anathas is like a long process. Sometimes it's short. It depends, of course, on the mercy of Guru. Like Sri Devashinarad, he was serving the great sages, and he used to take prasadam, remnants of prasadam from them, and he got purified in the sense over time. So at the same time, we have personalities who just get the mercy of going back to Godhead just by being touched by the Lord. As demons in the Krishna book, we see a lot of that happening. But that's a different scenario. Us, we are already touched by the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is enough, basically. It's everything. It's just a matter of faith, firm faith. Faith is scientific, if you look at it. Faith means surrender, basically. It means you are willing to trust something. It's probably what described in one paper, just having a sense of trust in something sublime. It's just a matter of allowing yourself to face situations, to tolerate situations, and at the same time be straight on the path of bhakti. The path of bhakti is actually the Lord does two things to one on the path of poverty. The person can be facing the Lord to go that way, but along the way there are distractions, of course. The Lord sometimes, like with the example of Pilvamangala Thakur, he can see that the living entity is distracted by my material allurements on the sides of the road. And he can use those very same allurements to lead the living entity straight to him. So we see Pilvamangala Thakur was running after the prostitute, and the prostitute became his guru and by instructing him, hey, you are more attracted to Krishna, why are you doing this? And he suddenly like clicked in his mind, oh, what am I doing? And he remembered from his previous attachment to Krishna that I have to go straight on the path. He was straight on the path already, but Krishna was just using those instruments of his karma to lead him there. So we already have the mercy of the Lord by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We have the books, we have the Maha Mantra. It's just a matter of how long now. We're already in the spiritual world, I believe. Not that I believe, we are already in the spiritual world, all of us already. Whether we got cowherds, swaroops, whatever, it doesn't matter. Swaroop doesn't matter. What matters is unalloyed devotional service. That's the point. Swaroop and Sahajism, and the issue of Sahajism comes into play when one thinks of, oh, what body may I get? It doesn't matter if you're a rock or plant. It's like unalloyed devotional service. That's what the identity of the soul is. It's unalloyed love for Krishna. So we're already in the spiritual world just by the dint of being here in the temple, even if we're not chanting, even if we're chanting, prasadam is there. Anything that has to do with Krishna means that we're on the way. It's just a matter of time. And what is time in the spiritual world? Time in the spiritual world is nothing. We can see when Gopakumara and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita met Krishna, when they met, Krishna was just herding cows, and then they sort of like hugged, and then they fainted on the ground both together, and Krishna's tears were like making a muddy pool on the ground, and Balaram and his friends were confused. Who's this that Krishna just hugged? And it was just like a second, according to Krishna. But of course, because of the love, he asked in terms of time, like, hey, my friend, where have you been? He was describing how his friend has been rejecting him, has been going on the path and been tolerating a lot of insults or whatever that is to tolerate to get to him. And it's a joyful experience. That's what Ananda Maya means, realization of the all blissful nature. We have a glimpse of bliss in this material world, but it's not the same as the bliss that is found in the spiritual world. So basically, with my lack of preparation, I hope I said something sufficient by your mercy. Any comments or questions? Anything? We have 10 minutes more, 15 minutes more. 3 seconds, quarter past eight. Yeah, 3 seconds. I thought it was half past eight. Anything, comments? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.